Wake up, Coastal Carolina. Wake up. This is your CCTA Wake Up Call.
Produced by the Coastal Carolina Taxpayers Association, a nonprofit, nonpartisan organization dedicated to the preservation of the U.S. Constitution, free enterprise, and individual liberty.
Hello, Coastal Carolina, and welcome to CCTA Wake Up Call. I'm your host, Rick Hopkins, and thank you for tuning in and being loyal listeners of the program. And if you're new, we welcome you and hope you'll become a regular listener to CCTA Wake Up Call. If you're not familiar with CCTA, it's Coastal Carolina Taxpayers Association. We're a nonpartisan, nonprofit, 501c3 grassroots organization. We advocate for freedom, liberty, constitution, free market system, and we try to hold our elected officials accountable and make sure they do what they said they were going to do when they ran for office. So with all that being said, I'll introduce the panel. We have Bob and Mary Griswold.
Hello.
Hello.
We have Melissa.
Hello.
We have Hal and Rainer James.
Hey there. Hey.
And we have a special guest tonight, and that's going to be John Droz. He's a physicist. He's going to be on the phone because he's up in the Adirondacks on extended leave. He called it a summer vacation, I think. Okay, John. Well, I want to start out. The reason we're I've been wanting to have you on for quite a while. I'm a regular reader of your newsletter and following the wonderful information that you put out and share with the public. But this letter that you sent me last week, let's see, it was on Saturday, actually.
When we is got a few other people, too. I think some of the other people in the group here also got it, yes.
Okay. Well, the letter was, when is enough enough? And rather than me trying to read it, I had one of our AI guys that we have access to do that for me. So we're going to listen to that first.
This morning I saw the news that our local hospital has shut down its maternity ward due to multiple healthcare professionals quitting rather than being forced to get an experimental injection. They have bills to pay, a family to support, yet they have said enough. Kudos to these brave, principled people, some of whom have resigned from a position that they have been involved with for decades. How about the rest of us? At what point do we say that we're not going to take it anymore? It seems like most citizens will tolerate a loss of their rights and freedoms if it is done gradually, like slowly turning up the temperature of a pot with a lobster in it. Most citizens have already looked the other way about innumerable recent liberty extractions, like a state mandating that wind energy must provide 30% of the electricity. What happened to the free market? Like the federal government demanding adherence to climate change policies. What happened to real science? Like universities forcing woke propaganda into the curriculum, what happened to critical thinking? Like the Attorney General attempting to block forensic election audits, what happened to election integrity? Like governments requiring that certain citizens must get an experimental injection, what happened to our body, our choice, etc. ad nauseum? When is enough, enough? Maybe it's when we realize that there is a pattern here, and that these are not random abuses. Maybe it's when we realize that the direction these are taking is towards communism. Maybe it's when we realize that the only power that governments, etc. have, is what we have voluntarily granted them. Maybe it's when we realize that by tolerating these abuses, that it's perceived as compliance and weakness, which invites more injustices. Maybe it's when we realize that good people are in the majority, and that working intelligently together, we can defeat these assaults on our rights. Maybe it's when we realize that we need to collectively and aggressively push back against these attacks on our freedoms. Let's start drawing some lines in the sand. How about we begin with the unscientific FDA COVID-19 drug approval process involving remdesivir and ivermectin? That issue may sound obscure, but it is the corrupted process that then illegally allowed experimental injections which led to subsequent mandates, etc., etc. Fix the FDA drug approval process, and the rest of the unscientific COVID-19 policies fall like a house of cards. One way to fix it is to personally sue the FDA individuals whose negligence allowed this debacle to happen. To pull this off, Dedicated volunteers are needed, for example, to coordinate this effort, to send information to social media, to research contact information for sympathetic media, to research contact information for like-minded organizations, to set up a fundraising campaign, attorneys to prosecute, etc. It's your life and your choice as to when you had enough. Hope it's not too late. John Droz, Jr., physicist.
Well, John, I think that was well stated and well put. And
thank you. Sounded pretty good to me.
Yeah, yeah.
Me too.
So let's go down the list here. You started out talking about mandating that wind energy must provide 30% of electricity. What's wrong with that?
Well, as it says, what happened to the free market here? I mean, why should the government be forcing utilities to say a certain percentage of your portfolio must consist of wind energy? What's the rationale behind that?
Well,
it makes no sense energy-wise. It makes no sense science-wise. Makes no sense economically. It makes no sense versus climate change. It makes no sense, period. But the whole thing happened because a lot of these things is because the wind industry has powerful lobbyists.
Yeah, I think
lobbyists consider influence legislators, like in North Carolina, to write up laws that favored them.
I think it's because they have a whole lot of wind in Congress, and they think we have some all over the country here. But Hal?
I remember, John, some time ago when you appeared before the Board of Commissioners here in Craven County talking about the solar panel farms and trying to have them in some way curtail the number of those farms. And it seems like this is kind of a parallel to what you're talking about, the wind farms, too, because all those kind of things sort of follow a pattern where they try to get the government to do what they want to have done.
Yes.
Because they don't make economic sense.
That's right. Or scientific sense, or any sort of sense. I can tell you, to me, words are important here, Hal, so I don't even use that term, farm, because that's part of the lobbyist propaganda. There's no farm involved with a wind farm or a solar farm. There's no farm other than farming for subsidies.
Good point. So, good point.
They know very well that they're injecting, let's say in a wind project, an industrial complex into a rural area, and they try to make it seem like it's no big deal. So by calling it a farm, it sounds like it's environmentally benign and so forth, pastoral. You know, these people are very clever. So by using those type of terms, we're in effect somewhat endorsing their propaganda. So I've extracted the terms wind or solar farm from my vocabulary. I call it a solar project or solar complex or wind, whatever, facility. There's a whole variety of other things. So that's one of my points here, that we're sort of little at a time being indoctrinated here, and through terminology is another one of the ways we are.
Well, thanks, John. I'll follow that example in the future.
Thanks for pointing that out. The next item you referenced was the federal government demanding adherence to climate change policies. Now, that used to be global warming, and I guess that got toxic, and they had to change it to climate change. Go ahead and comment on that.
Well, it's like a lot of things, again, that there's no science behind it. For instance, one of their rationales is to say things like, well, this is what the IPCC is saying that we need to do. And as a cover, they say, well, there's a bunch of scientists there and so on and so forth. But the fact is, if you look into what the IPCC's charter is, a lot of people have the implication, okay, this group of scientists are evaluating this issue and looking at the pros and cons and the options and blah, 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 and their sum and substance of their research is that humans are at a cause here, and this is what we need to do. But none of that's true. The IPCC's charter, if you read it, says nothing about them investigating what possible causes of climate change are. It starts out in the charter saying humans are the cause. That's what it says. So it says proceed to investigate what we need to do about humans being the cause. So this is hardly an objective source of information. They've started with the premise that humans are the problem.
So you're really saying the sky is falling is their opening line?
Pretty much, yes. And humans are causing.
Let me show my ignorance here. What is the IPCC?
Okay, well, the IPCC is one of the more influential groups, organizations in this whole issue, and the IPCC is a particular section of the United Nations.
Okay,
so
thank you.
The IPCC, like the United Nations says, WHO is an example, another corrupt group, the World Health Organization mm-hmm. here that is involved with COVID misinformation.
Well,
so the IPCC is a part of the United Nations here, and that's who it works under.
Thank you.
Well, some people might say, what qualifies you to say that there's no science involved with this?
Well, I'm a professional scientist, so that's the whole idea of a scientist, to say I don't have to be a chemist, for instance, to understand when a chemist PhD is saying something that's unscientific. The rules of science apply across the board. For instance, things like the scientific method is an example. That doesn't just apply to my field of physics. It applies to geology. It applies to astronomy. It applies to chemistry. It applies to climatology. So these things are across the board here. So what I look for, just like we're dealing with COVID stuff here, I'm looking for are the FDA who's making approvals here for certain drugs and not for others, as an example, are they following the scientific process? And the answer is no.
Okay, Hal, real quick.
Well, I believe there's climate change. I really do, because, the dinosaurs became extinct because of climate change over the years. I think climate change has been going on ever since the world was created, and I think it'll continue to go on. So the point is it's not caused by humans.
Yes. Well, when I say the word climate change, of course, I'm assuming that people are saying man-made climate change, but you're right. Yes, there's no debate that climate is continually changing. Yes.
All right, John, we're going to take a quick break here to hear from our sponsors. And
you've had enough already?
Well, it's time for a break, and I hadn't had enough, but we got to
Somebody's
do this.
Got to pay the bills.
Got to pay the bills. So we'll do that, and we'll come back and talk about the woke propaganda.
Torque Transmission and Automotive Repair is the transmission physician in the New Bern area. If you're experiencing transmission problems, call Charles Grover at 252-637-2399 or stop by the shop on 17 South in New Bern. Torque can install a new or reconditioned transmission, or they can rebuild your transmission if that's what you prefer. See Torque for a variety of minor automotive repairs like brakes, tune-ups, and water pump. You can count on Torque Transmission and Automotive Repair.
For news, commentary, and a different perspective, check out RightWingGranny.com. Hey, Granny's got it going on. See for yourself. Go to RightWingGranny.com.
The God and Country Christian Alliance has a simple mission, but it is a profound one. They want to inform and educate the public on issues of moral and political concern. They want to restore the Judeo-Christian values upon which this nation was founded to all levels of government. And they want to encourage and activate pro-family voters. Simple, but not easy. The God and Country Christian Alliance meets the third Monday of every month at Moore's Barbecue on MLK in New Bern. Meetings begin promptly at 7 p.m. and end by 8:30. To enjoy dinner with the group before the meeting, arrive between 6 and 6:30. Both the food and the company are good. Meetings include speakers and discussion, and their annual banquets are legendary. Join them on the third Monday of each month for a refreshingly candid view of the world and our place in it.
Just who are these people doing this CCTA program? They're people like you, a photographer, someone that ran their own business, someone retired from the military, just people in the community that love this country and have a desire to do their part to lower taxes and shrink government, to protect individual liberty, and to preserve the U.S. Constitution and free enterprise system. We welcome you to come out to a meeting. If you like what you see and hear, there's a place where you can contribute to the cause. To learn more, go to cctaxpayers.com. That's cctaxpayers.com. The group meets every third Tuesday at Stanley Hall Ballroom in downtown New Bern to enjoy a fantastic speaker and report on CCTA activity since the last meeting. If you've been disappointed with rising taxes and government intrusion, don't just complain. Join Coastal Carolina Taxpayers Association and make your voice heard.
Welcome back to CCTA Wake Up Call. Well, again, our special guest this evening is physicist John Droz, Jr. And John, again, we thank you for joining us. Let's move on and talk a little bit about the universities forcing woke propaganda into the curriculum. We have had a number of our members run for school board here, and espousing that same narrative, and we're told that that's false, that's not true, that it's not good, at least it's not going on here, yet we hear from students and parents that yeah, it is going on here. So tell us a little bit about your experience with it.
Well, I have my finger in a lot of different areas here. I deal with a lot of academic people, and all I can tell you is what they're telling me, people who are, you know, professional academians, are professors and whatever, that clearly there is a, number one, an extreme liberal inclination, let's say, in universities. So if you have any dispute about that, I mean, just take any university and say, okay, take how many professors you have, how many of them are Republicans versus how many are Democrats, as an example. That's a pretty simple but telling thing here. That I think ordinarily you'd find it's probably something like 90% Democrats and 10% Republicans.
I think you're pretty close.
So that's a start right there. And then if you talk to people who are actually on the front lines, they're instructed for doing things or not doing things, saying things that are acceptable, and students object when they say something, I mean, that they find offensive. I don't know if they say, okay, we need to celebrate Christopher Columbus Day as an example here because he was an influential person in our history, and they'll jump up and say, no, this is a racist person, blah, 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 blah. Oh, my goodness. So these people are trying to rewrite history. I mean, it's one thing to try to understand history, but trying to say these people several hundred years ago should have the same perspectives and understanding of things that we do today to begin with is just absurd. But that's part of the idea, part of the mentality. Christopher Columbus should have treated indigenous people differently because of XYZ and so on and so forth. Well, easy to say Monday morning quarterback the stuff after the fact.
Well, he should have also used GPS satellites to guide him to the
sure.
world.
Right. Absolutely.
You know, I think it's not just in the universities. I mean, it's from the bottom up. You know, when we have these teachers who there's just too much evidence out there. Every time we watch, you know, with social media, we watch a Board of Education meeting or the parents, you know, saying, well, my child brought home this or my child told me the teacher said this. There's too much evidence out there. But every time we hear, oh, well, that's not being taught. So then why is it in our classrooms? Why is the evidence there? I mean, it's just like, why is it so hard for people to wake up? You know, with the climate change, you know, I've been told my entire life in 10 years, the world's going to end. You know, I think we've all been through, you know, the doomsday that's coming, and it has yet to happen. And now we have the same thing with the woke agenda, that it's just they tell us it's not there, but there's so much evidence. Why is it so hard for people to see it?
Well, that's what some of my subsequent comments are about. Go ahead, Rick, continue on. But yes, we're in agreement there.
Okay. The next one is attorney generals attempting to block forensic election audits. What happened to election integrity?
Well, this is documented here that the U.S. Attorney General here, I don't have the things right in front of me, the articles that quoted him, but they were basically saying that people who objected to election results here or who proposed forensic audits here could be held liable and put in jail and all sorts of other things here. As I said, I don't have it in front of me, I'd read it, but it's in my newsletter as to what some of those things were. But clearly, the federal government is trying to obstruct things like the Maricopa County audit. For instance, we know that something like 100 attorneys were sent literally to Arizona here to try to put roadblocks in the way of those people here. So why would they do that? All we're trying to do is get to the facts. But what can I tell you?
Okay. I don't know what you can say. I know that there's a lot of investigating going on right now. Forensic audits are being done in some areas. And you've got, let's talk about the Mike Lindell Cybersecurity Symposium. What did you think of that?
Well, I have sort of mixed feelings about Mike Lindell, who I know somewhat. I've dealt a lot with his attorney. Mike is certainly on the right side of the issue. But on the other hand, I think he, he goes off topic and he lets his enthusiasm get the better of him, blah, blah, blah. So he says a lot of things that sort of undermine his credibility.
Have you followed any of Doug Gould's comments that he's made after coming back from that symposium?
No, I haven't seen what Doug said. I did watch some of the videos. I don't have the time to watch all of them. As I say, partly for the reason that I'm concerned that, as an example, the a perfect, in my opinion, a perfect example was that he, in one of his prior videos, he made a, it was all about the statistics and how that there were statistical aberrations here, blah, 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 blah. Forget the guy's name here who was involved in it. Do you remember what the guy's name? Drawing a senior moment here.
I'm sharing it. I know it too, but can't think of it.
I can look it up here. But anyways, his whole thing was about the fact of that there was unequivocal information here that said that this was statistically impossible to happen, blah, 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 blah. So the problem with that is that the guy he had on there to do that wasn't a statistical person. In fact, he's a chemist. So it would seem to me that if they're trying to make a case, which he said was going to go to the Supreme Court, blah, 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 if he wanted to make a strong case here about statistical aberrations, that as a minimum, he would have had some sympathetic statistical PhDs involved with that video. And he didn't. Because I know he didn't, because I dealt with his attorney. So instead they have a chemist getting up there talking about the statistical aberrations. And this is literally out of his lane, as the saying goes. I'm not saying everything he said was wrong. Some of the things he did say were right. But it just lacked credibility that they wouldn't have a statistical PhD here speaking this type of statistical talk.
All right. Let's move on to light governments requiring that certain citizens must get an experimental injection. So what happened to our body, our choice?
Doug Frank is the guy I'm thinking about here.
Dr. Frank, yeah.
Yeah, he's a chemist. Okay, the next question is about why not get this? So you notice, again, for words here, I didn't call these vaccines. Because they aren't technically vaccines. That's part of the dishonesty here. They're using that term to try to imply that this is no different than you getting a smallpox or shingles or something other vaccine. It's entirely different matter from start to finish. Entirely different. So for them to just call this a vaccine like it's the same as everything else is just part of the dishonesty here. These are experimental biochemical injections. And I don't have anything against vaccines. I've received many, like the shingles vaccine. So I have nothing at all about vaccines. But these are not vaccines. But furthermore, the fact that somebody should be mandated to get it, the science doesn't support that. And the whole story behind this, which I wrote up in a report here, is pretty, well, it's below there. pretty disturbing that actually their emergency use authorization for these injections was done illegally from the get-go. So everything based on what they're saying here is based on an illegal EUA here. Illegal. According to their own rules, illegal.
John, I've read that these so-called vaccines have had more serious side effects and caused more deaths than have all the rest of the vaccines that we've used ever. Is that your understanding of it?
Well, part of the problem here is that the data in this whole field here is really difficult to come by. For instance, the CDC data they typically refer to is called VAERS data. It's part of a system they set up here, but the system is voluntary. In other words, it's up to, let's say, doctors and hospitals to fill out a form and send it to the CDC, and it's up to them to honestly and objectively put the information on the form, so on and so forth. So the whole thing is based on a voluntary system. Well, in one of my reports there was a study done by Harvard, you know, obviously no right-wing extremist, but a study done by Harvard about the accuracy of this data and so forth, and they concluded that the actual data reported by the CDC typically only represents about 1% of the real-world data.
Mm-hmm.
1%. Now, I imagine it's higher than that for the COVID matter because a lot of people are paying attention to it. But let's say it's 10 times higher and it's representing 10%. Or 20 times. Let's say it's 20%. So what's the difference? The fact is that there's a lot of information we don't have. And this has become somewhat of a politicized issue. So it's hard to know whether the suppliers of the information are doing this honestly in an unbiased manner. Like I said, it's a mess. So I think the data in general is highly suspect is the politest thing I can say.
The other thing that I think is highly suspect is the implication that if you get the jab, that you will then be one of these wonderful people that will never be affected by COVID again. When that's not true and you're still able to transmit it, you're still able to get it, and everything about it, you know, it's an airborne thing, and guess what, you're a carrier. And, yes. And so they've tried to set aside the classes that you were going to be the ultra pure person as opposed to the ultra
unwashed.
Yes.
Well, yes, I think the communication to the public in general has been dishonest is the politest way I can say. Because they are implying that if you get the injection here, that you will be prevented from getting the COVID-19 and you will not be able to communicate it to other parties. And both those things you say are false.
Well, I also, you know, feel like with the information, the way that they're presenting it, I just don't see how there is going to be a way to get correct data when I don't know if you saw the news that in New Hanover here in Wilmington, the New Hanover Hospital, there was a leaked video of a couple of people on a Zoom call talking about how they inflate the numbers and really want to get the message out there that if you do not get the vaccine, you will die.
Well, I did see that. So that's what I meant by being biased with these voluntary submissions. Yeah.
Right, absolutely. So, you know, if that's their agenda, how can we trust these people? That's, you know, and it's not... It has been politicized, but it is not, you know, oh, you must support Trump or you must be a right extremist. That has nothing to do with a lot of people's reason for not getting this injection. You know, they do their research. They see the dishonesty. And why would you trust such a thing?
Mm-hmm. Well, that's my position. And you read my reports. I go into a lot more detail than that and prove how incompetent they are.
Right. Well, it's time for us to take another quick break, John. And when we come back, we're going to get back to that question. At what point do we say that we're not going to take it anymore? When is enough enough?
At Professional Auto Service, keeping vehicles in top form and running well isn't just their business. It's the passion of folks who work there. If baling wire and duct tape is good enough, don't go near them. But if you take pride in your vehicle and reliability is important, Go to 2215 Country Club Road in New Bern and let Professional Auto take care of your vehicle. You'll be pleased. That's Professional Auto Service, Country Club Road, New Bern.
Moore's Old Time Barbecue is slow cooked and smoked over hickory in the tradition of the Moore's family for over 70 years. Moore's also serves fried chicken, cooked to order seafood, and homemade side dishes. Open 7 days a week in New Bern, Winterville, Moorhead City, Swansboro, and Jacksonville. Moore's will cater and deliver anywhere you want your truly traditional barbecue and fixings delivered. And remember, if it's not Moore's, it's less.
Would you like to improve your overall health without the use of prescription drugs? Is stress causing you health concerns? Do you want more energy? We hope that you would like to experience optimum health the rest of your life. We offer a free nutritional consultation to the listeners of this radio program. Call the office of Gladys Sussell, Wellness Educator and Nutritional Consultant, at 252-728-2118 to make an appointment to start your journey to optimum health.
County Compass is a rapidly growing, free, weekly newspaper throughout eastern North Carolina. At the County Compass, we believe small business is the future of our great nation. Many small business owners have discovered that an ad in the County Compass each week is the most effective, the most affordable way to reach thousands of readers from all walks of life. At the County Compass, we focus entirely on local and regional news. Coverage of important issues that directly affect your life. At the County Compass, we love our readers and we love our advertisers. This Thursday and every Thursday at more than 750 distribution points throughout eastern North Carolina, pick up your free copy of the County Compass newspaper.
Since 1952, the North Carolina Fisheries Association has been working to ensure access for fishermen and consumers to enjoy fresh local seafood. The North Carolina Fisheries Association is for fair, science-based fisheries management for commercial and recreational fishermen. If you agree with this philosophy, become a member. For more information, log on to ncfish.org. For fresh North Carolina seafood, there's no better place than B&J Seafood, Highway 70 East in New Bern. For news, commentary, and a different perspective, check out rightwinggranny.com. Hey, Granny's got it going on. See for yourself. Go to rightwinggranny.com.
Welcome back to CCTA Wake Up Call. Again, our special guest with us this evening is John Droz Jr., a physicist that is... we're going over a letter he sent out, and it is, when's enough enough? And that's a question I think that's on a lot of people's minds.
Well, that isn't exactly the title of the letter. The title is how much more are you going to take?
Right. That's right. I see that in the subject line up there.
Yeah.
But we're down at the bottom now where it says, when is enough enough? And you gave a few things there, like maybe when we realize there's a pattern and these are not random abuses, and maybe it's when we realize the direction these are taking is towards communism. And maybe it's when we realize the only power that governments have is what we have voluntarily granted them. Or maybe it's when we realize that by tolerating these abuses, that it's perceived as compliance and weakness, which invites even more injustices.
To me, that's a big one. That's a very important big one here.
Right.
People, they don't think about by saying, well, okay, fine, we're going to look the other way here, blah, 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 but... Every time they do, you do that, they say, okay, fine. What this means is that we can go further.
Right. And there's plenty of evidence out there that's prevalent that that's what's going on today. And you say maybe it's when we realize that good people are in the majority and that working intelligently together, we can defeat these assaults on our rights. And that's the very reason we're here tonight. Is in an effort to share this information, to distribute it further. And you close your newsletters by providing links to them and asking people to share them on social media. And we are definitely doing that. I shared a bunch of them this afternoon on our Telegram channel. So if you're on Telegram, go to Telegram and search for CCTA. You'll find we have a CCTA group there, and we also have a CCTA channel. And we'll be providing a number of links from John's newsletter, as well as the link to the newsletter itself and how you can get there. And we'll talk a little bit more about the newsletter here in a minute. But to continue on with your list, you said maybe it's when we realize that we need to collectively and aggressively push back against these attacks on our freedoms. Can you expand on exactly what you mean by that?
Well, I hear all the time, I mean literally daily, from individuals who are saying, you know, this is terrible. I don't know how the things have gotten this bad. I don't know how they get away with this, blah, 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 blah. But then I say, okay, fine, are you willing to volunteer some time and effort here to help out here? And they say, well, I'm fully supporting what you're saying, but I got a lot of other things on my plate here, and blah, 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 blah. So the answer is no. I'm not faulting that. I've got a lot of other things on my plate, too, but you have to make a priority as to, what's important.
Right.
Well, I would point out, you know, look at Australia. I mean, they have just really slid down the hole to communism very quickly. They are on a slippery slope. And, you know, we're going to start seeing those things here. We already are seeing some things, but not, you know, to that extent. And I love the words that you use to working intelligently, collectively, and aggressively. I mean, that has to be the route we take.
Well, I would think so. And I gave an example here subsequently. There is one of the things we can do to win this fight about the COVID. But the same thing applies in general, whether it's any of the other topics I mentioned, whether we need to fix our education system, for instance. I mean, this is horrifically bad. I mean, I've been noticing, I gave a talk to the United States Senate back, 20 years ago. I went to Washington, D.C., and gave a talk about how our education system was going downhill. 20 years ago.
Yep.
And I pointed out all sorts of things that were happening and blah, 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 blah. And I sat there and said, well, yeah, that's bad. Yes, that's a good point. Yes. Blah, 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 blah. You know, so there were a few hecklers and other things, people who objected, but they were just, what can I say? By and large, everybody agreed with what I said. But the question is, what was done about it? I don't see anything of consequence done about it. I've often wondered when I started watching this 20-some years ago that all these people are being robotized, you know, mindless propaganda they're being fed here so that they're just like sheep. I said, I wonder how that's going to end up being evidenced in society. Well, I think today we look around and see how it's being evidenced in society when people are buying into the stupidity of things like critical race theory and all this other type of stuff here, that's a part of our education, in my opinion. These
right.
people got the ability to think critically, and they just accept what they're told.
Well, we allowed the radical socialists to actually take over the education system. When you look at the professors and all that are in there now, they're just radical socialists.
John, to me, the problem with the education system is of enormous importance, but it's number two. That is taking us down slowly. This business of not having election integrity is taking us down very, very fast. I think that is the thing. I think we need full forensic audits in every single state. What say you?
Well, I've given several talks about that. I'm giving one tomorrow night, for example, in-person talk. But a couple of months ago, I gave a talk at the world-famous Chautauqua Institution in Western New York in person. This is a left-leaning area, so there was a standing-room-only group of people, several hundreds. And despite being left-leaning, they were actually very positive when I got finished.
Wow.
I really laid it out on them, and I presented the facts that nobody could dispute. I mean, one or two people tried to dispute it, but they were, I don't know, I'm trying to be polite here. But
no cigar?
No cigar, right. So I'd be glad to give an election integrity talk when I get back to Eastern North Carolina. That's later October. But, yes, that is a very big deal.
Thank you.
Well, you know, I was going to say, pardon me for interrupting, but I was going to say that I think we as a public probably have worked with the NIMBY philosophy, not in my backyard. As long as it's happening somewhere else, but not in my backyard, I don't need to get involved. Well, all of a sudden, it's in our, not just in our yard, but in our houses.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, that applies to these other things like wind energy and stuff like that. That I find that all the time, that people who don't have a wind project in their immediate backyard say, well, that's too bad for somebody else's problem, but that's their problem. Yeah. And that's the stupidity of it, because it's all of our problem. But I can tell you one thing that I found disappointing, and that is that the North Carolina GOP leadership here is, I would say, unsupportive, in my opinion, of election integrity.
I think we need to mount a means of making them feel very uncomfortable in that position.
And I'm specifically talking about people like Michael Whatley, for instance.
Yes. Are you familiar with the petition at nc-election.com?
I don't know off the top of my head. I've seen some of these things. I'm not sure.
Well, it is a petition for full forensic elections.
Audits.
Audits. The voter, the machine system, the tabulation, the ballot process, the whole nine yards looks to me very much like what's on your website at report number 10. And I'm hoping that we can get bees in the people's bonnets and that they go online and sign that petition, for starters. And I would love to see demonstrations in cities and towns all across North Carolina making it clear that we, the people, want them.
Well, I certainly agree with that. I'm saying how can we succeed here when the North Carolina GOP is resisting it?
We can leave them behind us. We can leave them behind us. There are plenty of Republicans who really believe the platform of the Republican Party who will jump on the bandwagon. I'm certain of that.
That was one of the things I wanted to mention, that Michael Whatley, that John has mentioned now a couple of times, is the chairman of the state Republican Party. And a lot of our listeners might not be aware of that. And the other thing that I wanted to mention is that our next public meeting for the CCTA is held at Stanley Hall Ballroom on every third Tuesday. I think it's the 21st. This time, John will be one of our guests, and we'll be discussing election integrity. Well, not only John, but some other good speakers will be there.
Okay. Well, John, we need to take another break. And when we come back, I want to talk about your newsletter and your organization a little bit. So,
what happened about the FDA part here? Are we skipping over that?
Well, we can come back to that right after the break.
Okay, fine.
All right. Okay. All right. Okay. All right, folks, listen to these commercials from our sponsors, and please go out and visit them and tell them you heard about them on CCTA Wake Up Call.
At Professional Auto Service, keeping vehicles in top form and running well isn't just their business. It's the passion of folks who work there. If baling wire and duct tape is good enough, don't go near them. But if you take pride in your vehicle and reliability is important, go to 2215 Country Club Road in New Bern and let Professional Auto take care of your vehicle. You'll be pleased. That's Professional Auto Service, Country Club Road, New Bern.
Moore's Old Time Barbecue is slow cooked and smoked over hickory in the tradition of the Moore's family for over 70 years. Moore's also serves fried chicken, cooked to order seafood, and homemade side dishes. Open 7 days a week in New Bern, Winterville, Moorhead City, Swanspur, and Jacksonville. Moore's will cater and deliver anywhere you want your truly traditional barbecue and fixings delivered. And remember, if it's not Moore's, it's less.
Would you like to improve your overall health without the use of prescription drugs? Is stress causing you health concerns? Do you want more energy? We hope that you would like to experience optimum health the rest of your life. We offer a free nutritional consultation to the listeners of this radio program. Call the office of Gladys Sussell, wellness educator and nutritional consultant, at 252-728-2118 to make an appointment to start your journey to optimum health.
County Compass is a rapidly growing, free, weekly newspaper throughout eastern North Carolina. At the County Compass, we believe small business is the future of our great nation. Many small business owners have discovered that an ad in the County Compass each week is the most effective, the most affordable way to reach thousands of readers from all walks of life. At the County Compass, we focus entirely on local and regional news. Coverage of important issues that directly affect your life. At the County Compass, we love our readers and we love our advertisers. This Thursday and every Thursday at more than 750 distribution points throughout eastern North Carolina, pick up your free copy of the County Compass newspaper.
Since 1952, the North Carolina Fisheries Association has been working to ensure access for fishermen and consumers to enjoy fresh local seafood. The North Carolina Fisheries Association is for fair, science-based fisheries management for commercial and recreational fishermen. If you agree with this philosophy, become a member. For more information, log on to ncfish.org. For fresh North Carolina seafood, there's no better place than B&J Seafood, Highway 70 East in New Bern. For news, commentary, and a different perspective, check out rightwinggranny.com. Hey, Granny's got it going on. See for yourself. Go to rightwinggranny.com.
Welcome back to CCTA Wake Up Call. And again, we're with John Droz Jr., physicist, and he's talking about let's start drawing some lines in the sand. And he says, how about we begin with the unscientific FDA COVID-19 drug approval process involving remdesivir and ivermectin. What about that, John?
Well, when I start talking about to people about this approval thing, the first thing you need to know is that physicians don't have a free hand in prescribing anything they want. So if my doctor in Morehead City says, I think the thing for you to take for COVID, you know, you have COVID, is XYZ, they have to look up in the physician's desk reference or some other document they have to see what's approved for them to prescribe.
Is that what follow the protocol means?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. So if they prescribe something that's not approved by the FDA, the problem for them is that then they are sticking their neck out legally. So, for instance, if their patient doesn't recover and dies, some attorney is going to come by and say, well, my customer client here died because you deviated from the approved list of the FDA. So now the doctor is going to be in a position to say he's got to prove why he knows better than the FDA is.
So are you saying that there's something for that specific illness or situation?
Yes.
Because
yes.
I had my wife call our doctor to see if they would prescribe ivermectin or hydroxychloroquine, and the response was, no, it's not been approved.
Well, that's what I'm saying, right.
Well, that kind of threw us a little bit back because we thought it was approved. It's been being used for over 50 years, but what you're saying is not being used for COVID. It's not been approved
right.
as a treatment for COVID.
That's right.
Is it nothing that the government doesn't tell us how to do and what we can do and what we can't do, even the physicians?
That's the whole point of enough is enough.
You're damn right.
Thank you. Right. Yes, it can be an approved drug for something else, let's say to treat scarlet fever or something else, but once they go off label, is what it's called, to say I'm repurposing this drug here for something else entirely, well, then that's where they're out on thin ice because the FDA says, fine, if you have a client that has XYZ, fine. But if it's ABC, you cannot approve that Okay. That's what the situation is.
All right.
And the question is, then becomes, once you understand that, the question then becomes is, well, what does it take for the FDA to approve a drug for a treatment of COVID-19? Well, does anybody know what that takes?
A lot of money.
Well,
studies, partly. I think.
Well, so you have a vague idea. That's the thing here. There's actually, if you go to the FDA, if you look at my report here, the second report, it shows you the FDA's flow chart. It shows you the whole thing. So to begin with, the first thing it needs for a drug to be considered by the FDA is it needs a sponsor. In other words, the FDA doesn't say, well, let's look into this. Somebody has to come to them and say, I want to sponsor ivermectin, let's say. Well, the only people that step forward as sponsors for something like remdesivir are people who hold a patent for it.
Well, follow the money, follow the money.
All right.
Yes, who stand to make a profit if it's approved. So that's what happened here. For the holder of the Gilead here, of the patent for remdesivir, they went and said, fine, we would like you to consider this and blah, 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 blah. So the question is, why I'm comparing these two is because remdesivir was approved as a drug for COVID-19. Ivermectin was not approved. So the question is, what did remdesivir come forward with that convinced this FDA panel that it was worth approving that ivermectin hasn't done? Okay, well, I'm going to tell you. That's what that report's about here, which is really eye-opening. First of all, remdesivir had a grand total of 5 studies. This is according to what the FDA says on their website. Here's the studies we considered in this approval process. 5 studies. Amazingly, if you read the studies, which I did, 4 of the studies did not find a beneficial effect to remdesivir.
Oh, my gosh.
Got that? 4.
Yes, sir.
1 study said it was beneficial. I'm simplifying a little bit, but that's the gist of it. 1 of the 5 studies said it was beneficial. Got that? And they approved this drug on the basis of 5 studies, 1 that was beneficial.
Okay? Wow.
Now, let's look at what the story is with ivermectin. Right as of today, there are 63 scientific studies versus 5. Out of the 63, 44 of them were peer-reviewed. Okay? Out of the 63, 32 were clinical trials. Now, a clinical trial is a double-blind, random thing here. It's a much more detailed where they're actually having patients here and nobody knows what's on, all this kind of stuff. So there are 32 clinical trials.
John, just to interrupt, so that is the process that they did not take for these, quote, virus, for the new vaccines, the quote vaccines. They did not follow that same process.
I'm going to get to that. I'll connect to that in a minute here. This is separate from the vaccine. This is drugs, not vaccine. We're talking about their approval of drugs, but the two are connected in a minute here. So they had 63 studies, 44 peer reviews, 32 were clinical trials. 92% of these studies showed that this ivermectin was substantially beneficial for COVID-19 treatment, 92%.
Breath.
Okay, so if you compare the studies, the number of studies, the number of peer-reviewed studies, the number of clinical trials, the percentages of success to remdesivir, it's extraordinarily better, not just a little. This is me as a scientist speaking here. From a science perspective, the evidence for ivermectin is like about 100 times better than it is for remdesivir. And yet they disapproved ivermectin and approved remdesivir. Now, why would they do that? Well, there's a couple reasons why. One reason why is because, as I said, there was nobody as a sponsor for ivermectin because the patent on it was originally held by Merck here, expired a long time ago. So now this is a generic drug like aspirin. So no one stands to make a killing on it. A typical protocol treatment for remdesivir for a COVID patient is over $3,000. A typical COVID treatment for a patient for ivermectin is like $50. Got it? So that's part of the reason. So nobody stands to make a killing here. So that's one reason. The second reason is even more important, and that is that to approve the vaccine, they had to go what's called an emergency use authorization, EUA. And the reason they had to do that is because a normal vaccine development typically takes something like 10 years. So if you look at how long it took for them to develop and test and so forth, the shingles vaccine or smallpox or any of these others, we're talking about something in the neighborhood of 10 years. So they said, obviously, we can't do that, so we've got to take some shortcuts, and we're going to justify these shortcuts by calling this an emergency use. Fine, there's some merit to that. But one of the federal rules for emergency use, to qualify under emergency use, is specifically, it says, there cannot be any other treatment that works.
Oh, my gosh, we've been had again.
Well, John, I hate to cut you off here, but we are running out of time. We've got less than a minute here, and I think it's very important that I get your information out about your newsletter and your website. Again, it's AWED, A-W-E-D, which is the Alliance for Wise Energy Decisions, and you can go to wiseenergy.org. That's wiseenergy.org, and there you can find the links to get over to the AWED newsletter, which is full of these reports that John is talking about. He has COVID-19 therapies is one of the topics, COVID-19 vaccines, and it moves on down into wind energy, nuclear energy, man-made global warming, U.S. politics, science, election integrity, U.S. elections.
Okay, well, excuse me, one thing. Our separate website is on election integrity, so that's a separate website. So that is election-integrity.info.
Thank you.
Website, election-integrity.info. All our election integrity things are on that separate site.
Well, John, you've shared a lot of valuable information here with us today, and I think it's important that people follow up and go to those links. We'll try to post them up on our cctaxpayers.com website. And that's all the time we've got for today. So thanks for joining us, John. And folks, please come back and join us again next week.
People who learn to do something well and do it often get very good at it. Dr. Jay Singleton and his staff spend a lot of time removing cataracts, and they are good at it. Dr. Singleton has been doing a high volume of these procedures for 15 years. Let's face it, once we turn 50, the chances are we'll soon need cataract surgery. Fortunately, the Singleton Vision Center is conveniently located at 3515 Trent Road in New Bern, and the state-of-the-art Singleton Surgery Center is bringing costs down for patients and participating insurance companies. For dedication, experience, and convenience, you can trust the Singleton team. Dr. Jay Singleton and the Singleton Vision Center is conveniently located at 3515 Trent Road in New Bern.
Would you like to improve your overall health without the use of prescription drugs? Is stress causing you health concerns? Do you want more energy? We hope that you would like to experience optimum health the rest of your life. We offer a free nutritional consultation to the listeners of this radio program. Call the office of Gladys Sussell, Wellness Educator and Nutritional Consultant, at 252-728-2118 to make an appointment to start your journey to optimum health.
Since 1952, the North Carolina Fisheries Association has been working to ensure access for fishermen and consumers to enjoy fresh local seafood. The North Carolina Fisheries Association is for fair, science-based fisheries management for commercial and recreational fishermen. If you agree with this philosophy, become a member. For more information, log on to ncfish.org. For fresh North Carolina seafood, there's no better place than B&J Seafood, Highway 70 East in New Bern. For news, commentary, and a different perspective, check out rightwinggranny.com. Hey, Granny's got it going on. See for yourself. Go to rightwinggranny.com.
At Professional Auto Service, keeping vehicles in top form and running well isn't just their business. It's the passion of folks who work there. If baling wire and duct tape is good enough, don't go near them. But if you take pride in your vehicle and reliability is important, go to 2215 Country Club Road in New Bern and let Professional Auto take care of your vehicle. You'll be pleased. That's Professional Auto Service, Country Club Road, New Bern.
All right, folks, let me take just a moment here to tell you about our upcoming public meeting to be held September 21st. That's Tuesday night at 7 p.m. It's entitled Election Integrity, Preserving Our Republic, and our guest speakers will be Doug Gould. He's a nationally recognized cybersecurity expert who serves with Mike Lindell's cybersecurity team. And John Droz, he's a physicist and election integrity data analyst who will present data and information in reference to the 2020 presidential election. And we have Major Dave Getz, who is an election systems and data analyst who has been investigating major fraud into North Carolina state elections. Hope you'll come out and join us. That's Tuesday night, September 21st, 7 p.m., Stanley Hall, Ballroom, downtown New Bern.